Welcome to another broadcast of Celebrating Truth with Dr. E. Fay Williams, Esquire, on the Artist First Radio Network. Dr. Williams currently serves as National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women and President of Natural Health Options. All past shows can be downloaded free on demand. Visit the archives for Dr. Williams and Celebrating Truth at artistfirst.com. And now, here's your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you so much, Tony. Hello, I'm Fay Williams, your host, and welcome to Celebrating Truth, brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. Our Celebrating Truth producer is Miss Clem Clark out in San Francisco, and last week she and I did a year in review and had a great time. Today, we're just as excited to get the year 2012 underway. Clem has hosted the show in my absence, and she brings great guests to the show frequently. But she also has great ideas on many subjects, so we'll be bringing her back lots of times in 2012. We want to remind our listeners to not forget one of the main events of this year, the 2012 elections, and of course the Republicans are already campaigning 24/7, it seems. During the next several months, we will keep you updated with our challenges that are coming up in 2012, sort of like an orchestrated effort to prevent some of us from voting. Well, at any rate, don't you forget to register yourself to update your registration and register in a party so you can help to decide who your party's nominee will be. I don't have that problem. See, I already know who my nominee will be, but you never know who hasn't made up their mind yet. So remember what your support and remember the things you support, and then look at the people who are out there campaigning, and it'll be easy to make up your mind as to who you're going to support in 2012. Celebrating Truth is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. We are the number one organization dedicated especially to the needs of black women and their families. We invite all of our listeners to visit our website at www.nationalcongressbw.org. That's BW for black women, nationalcongressbw.org. And you'll find lots of information there, including greetings from our First Lady, Michelle Obama. And stay with us because we are going to talk a bit about Congressman James Sensenbrenner again. No, we're not going to let him off the hook for his insensitive remarks about the First Lady. I hope all of you have been making those phone calls, calling him at 202-225-3121. And, of course, I hope you're telling him that you're not pleased with his remarks about the First Lady and that he should apologize not just personally to her but to the entire nation because she is the First Lady of all of us. And, of course, today our first guest is the wonderful, my sister, Miss Adela Barnes, artist, actress extraordinaire. How are you, my sister?
I am blessed and delighted to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a blessing to have you. And first, I want to wish for you a blessed, successful, happy, healthy, and prosperous new year.
I accept all of those things. Thank you.
All right. Now, I know, like me, you've probably got some New Year's resolutions. I've got mine, and I'm going to share them later in the program before we go off. But let me just say, I see that you've got a lot going on in your life. So did you do any New Year's resolutions you want to tell us about to get started?
Well, you know, I sat down and thought about what my goals are that I have for this year. I have a list, probably about 40, and that's what I average every year. And I love the end of the year because I'm able to sit down and just kind of check off the things that I've accomplished during the year and then decide which ones I want to roll over to the next year. So some I'm rolling over from 2011, and so we'll see where the year takes me.
Well, I'm glad you said you do that. I do the same thing. You know, there's some people who just wallow in pity because they didn't do everything they wanted to do the year before. But the way to do it, as you said, is roll it over to the next year.
Roll it over to the next year. There you go.
That's right, because surely we accomplished some things in the previous year that we didn't have on our resolutions.
Right. And that's why it feels so good to be able to do those check marks. It's like, oh, I did it. I accomplished it.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right about that. It's never too late to continue to roll them over.
All right, then. Well, we're going to jump right into this interview. You're an artist. You wear a lot of hats. You are an award-winning stage, television, film, and commercial actor. You're a voiceover artist. You're acting and writing instructor. You're an author, you're a theater producer, writer's retreat proprietor, internet talk show host, an agent for solo artists in the college market. You are certainly a juggler. But isn't that true for many black women that we know?
That's right. Many people do many more than one thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But how do you do all of that and keep your sanity?
Well, you know what? I'm really blessed to have an incredible team of supporters. And I've learned over the years how to delegate. So I don't try to do everything myself. And when you have a team of individuals who really have the expertise that you need, you don't have to worry because the work gets done, and it gets done well.
Well, you know, I was blessed to attend Grambling State University in Louisiana. It's my first school, my first university. That's my undergraduate school. And I was taught by our legendary head football coach, Eddie Robinson, about team play. And, you know, he always says, when you're on a team, you don't have to do everything on the team.
That's right.
You just play your part well.
There you go.
Once in a while, you have to assist somebody, but, you know, you have a role. If you play yours well and each other person plays theirs well, that's what makes up a team.
That's right. And if you're the leader and a good leader, you know how to delegate well.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Yeah, well, that's something I'm still working on at this age. Sometimes I think, oh, it's easier, I can do it myself.
Right. However, you know, the more that I have found that I've delegated, boy, it sure has taken a lot of pressure off of me when I have good people surrounding me.
Okay, well, I'm sure I can learn some of that from you, but, you know, theater was my undergraduate major, and I've never done anything as major as you've done, but I love theater, and I believe everybody should try it without necessarily hoping to become the big star. I mean, you know, we all have to know our limits.
But like you say, even if that's not your ambition, acting has so many other benefits. You know, I've worked as a teacher. I've taught all the way from children in elementary school, junior high, high school, adults, seniors. And one of the benefits for many is really just increasing their level of confidence and being able to get in front of others and being able to articulate, being able to speak. So there are many other benefits besides wanting to become a star or even a professional actor at that. So there are a lot of therapeutic benefits to being in acting classes instead.
Yeah, you know, now when I speak, and this is our heavy speaking period that's coming up, like Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, Black History Month, Women's History Month, and on to graduations. And people often say to me, because I don't speak from notes, they say, how did you memorize all that? I didn't memorize it. A lot of it comes from my training in theater and speech and dramatic arts and what have you, and you just kind of move from one thing to another. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to read, you don't have to study and learn, you know, and have a basic idea where you want to go, but you don't know always from one sentence to the other what you're going to say. It's not memorized.
Right.
Yeah.
For me,
yeah.
I like having if I have my outline, then I know where I'm going. My fear is that I might get scattered and just way off the track. So for me, I've got to have those boundaries where I know where I'm working within, and an outline is just fine in that regard.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I will plan what I'm going to say, but then once I walk up to the microphone, I'm not absolutely sure of exactly, you know, I haven't memorized a sentence to say I'm going to say this and then this and then this. It's kind of your direction.
That's your roadmap.
Right. Well, look, when you were growing up, did you imagine to be doing what you're doing today?
I really didn't in one sense. I grew up in a little small town called Oroville, California, which translated is Town of Gold. And during the whole gold rush period that they had in California around 1850, they actually panned for gold in my little town and found a lot of gold. So that's where I hail from, a small town that's like a southern town that's been airlifted and dropped in the state of California. So on the one hand, you've got this, or used to, it's changed now, but when I was coming up, you had a strong southern sensibility of many of the African Americans who lived there who were born in the South and moved to California. And then on the other hand, you had a redneck mentality. So it was really like being in a little southern town, actually. And so as a child, I really thought that I would become an English teacher. That was really my goal. That was my ambition. My passion was to teach. And I would gather all the little neighborhood kids together in the summertime, and I'd be the teacher, and they'd be the students. And I just loved English. And so it turns out that I did become a teacher, though I became an acting and a writing teacher, as opposed to an English teacher. But it's interesting that I did achieve what I wanted to become as a child, and that mm-hmm. is a teacher. That's one of the things that I've done.
Well, that's really
that
funny.
That was really the most that I thought of in terms of where I was going until I, as a teenager, was a part of Project Upward Bound and began to take acting classes. And then mm-hmm. that's when the acting really began to be the second phase of what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting because already I can see that we have a lot in common. I grew up in the South, down in Louisiana, moved to California after elementary school, and then went back to Louisiana and then back to California after undergraduate school. While my major was not English, I did have a minor in English, and that's what I taught initially.
Yes, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's amazing how many things we have in common when
we
begin to talk with each other.
That's right. So true.
Yeah. Now, as a working actor, what might some of the listeners know you from? Tell us about some of the things you've done and what you've got coming up next.
Well, probably what most viewers would know me from in terms of television would be the TV series Roseanne. I was on there for 5 seasons,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably of all my credits the one that is most notable, particularly since they still show Roseanne shows every day on Nick at Night and some of the other channels. So even mm-hmm. though it's been off the air for many years, it's on every single day. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one thing in terms of television. In terms of film, probably Erin Brockovich, the award-winning movie with Julia Roberts, as well as Iron-Jawed Angels and with Hilary Swank. Those are some of the projects that I'm probably most known for.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I was on an episode of Prime Suspect, and I just worked on a film that will be coming out, I imagine, perhaps sometime later in 2012. I'm not sure of the release date that they have in mind, but it's called The M Word by filmmaker Henry Jaglom. And the M stands for menopause, menstruation.
And when we go into that, let me just say to those who are just joining us, this is Faye Williams with Celebrating Truth, and we're talking with Adela Barnes. And, of course, Adela is so many things, an artist, as you will see as we go along. She is just a voiceover artist, instructor, so many other things. But welcome to Celebrating Truth and Adela Barnes. Go right ahead.
Okay. And so that's what's coming up next, the movie The M Word with Henry Jaglom. As I was saying, it will focus on menopause, menses, and men. And so those are a few things that are coming up, as well as doing voiceover work, the narration for a documentary that I will be working on when I get back to Los Angeles. I'm in Georgia right now, but that mm-hmm. will be coming up this month. And the name of the documentary is A Driving Rain, is in R-E-I-N. And it's a horse show story, a true story about a young girl who has a horse named Nick and just loves this horse. And he's an Arabian, but he's not a famous bloodline. And she has the ambition of winning a national championship. The judges do not favor this horse. He's small and for his category, but he's got a lot of grit. And they work very hard, and this underdog ends up winning the competition. So it's really a metaphor for life, that if you dream big, if you believe that it's possible, if you do the work, you can really achieve against all odds, and that's exactly what they did.
You know, on New Year's Eve night, I was attending a seminar, and that was one of the statements basically that was made, is that people who imagine things and talk about them, they think about them, that's more likely to happen than not. You know, it's kind of like what you are what you think about all day long.
That's right.
And, you know, many people, you know, will say things like, oh, no, that'll never happen, and they just brush it off.
That's
instead
right.
of saying, you know, oh, I pray for this, or I want to do this, or I'm going to take the first step to doing this, they just kind of believe that they can't do something.
Right. You've touched upon a very important point, and that is the power of words. Because words have power, And I believe it's really, really important that we're particular in the words that we choose, because mm-hmm. they all have a vibration, they all have an energy, and they will actualize. So if we're mindful of what we say and what we think, we can control, in many ways, our destiny.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a member of Unity Church, and one of our mantras is our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. You know, so be careful of what you're thinking.
That's
because
right.
These thoughts are actually prayers, and I'm going to try to practice doing that even more than usual in 2012, because I'm one who believes that despite all of the negatives we've been hearing about in the news, 2012 is going to be an awesome year.
Absolutely, if we make it so, and that's what we're going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all up to us.
Yeah, you're a voiceover artist. You have a project that you're about to go in the studio for this month. Tell us a little more about that, and what are some of the more famous voiceovers you've done?
Well, A Driving Rain, the one I just told you about, is the one I'm going to go into the studio on the horse show story, so I'm looking forward to that. And I also worked on two children's books as the voice, and with one, I did the women's voices, The Road to Shakabaz, and then with the other, I actually read the entire book. And so that was a very interesting challenge, because not only was I reading the narration, but I became all of the characters. It was called Kalila. So I'm very proud of those projects that are both for children.
You know, I think being a voiceover artist is going to become even more in demand. We're looking now at so many things where people prefer to listen to read.
That's right, unfortunately. But for those of us who do the voiceover work, it's wonderful, because it is a business that is growing, as you say, and also even with books, oftentimes you have those who would rather get an audio book than an actual book. So it is a growing business.
Now, I notice you've been an acting instructor for, well, I won't say how many years, but certainly you've had quite
time.
A little bit of experience.
Right.
You've also taught writing workshops that develop artists with one-person shows in more recent years. How do you do this? And, you know, you do so many things. Tell me a little bit about that area of your work.
Okay. Well, you know, the things that I do, because I've been doing them for many years, some things I started at one point in my career, and then other things came along a little bit later. So they didn't all happen at one time, but on my path, there has been one thing that's led to another and then another, and all the dots have just kind of lined up and connected as I've gone along on my path. So in terms of the teaching, that began with me teaching acting. And as an actor, I mean, that's what I know best. That's what I've done the longest, having started at age 16. And so, as I mentioned earlier, I started first teaching kids in elementary school. And so I've taught all levels. And in Los Angeles, I've taught those who are either aspiring, beginning acting students. They might be intermediate level, advanced. I've taught a number of celebrities who have crossed over. Toni Braxton is a client of mine, or was. We haven't worked together in a while, but I worked with her on a couple of films, and Benjamin Bratt from Law and Order. So I've worked the gamut in terms of teaching, all the way from those who just have a dream of being an actor to those who are household name celebrities.
Well, I mean, I like the way you just glide over Toni Braxton. I recently met another person who says, well, I was Jennifer Hudson's high school music teacher. It's really no big deal.
Right. You know, at the end of the day, they're all just people. And it's funny, because Toni loved to go to McDonald's. And I'm like, Toni Braxton goes to McDonald's? But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all human. We're just people.
Well, somehow most of the people I taught didn't decide to become actors. I don't know what that says about my teaching of acting. Most of the people I taught became lawyers.
That's interesting. Now, you know what's funny about that is that I've even had attorneys who've taken my acting classes, some because they really do want to become actors, but also I've had those who took my acting class because they wanted to be better in the courtroom. They wanted to be more convincing. And they knew that if they had the stage presence in the courtroom, that opening statement, closing statement with their juries, that that could make the difference in terms of whether or not they won a case.
Yeah, I think almost every field where there is some public speaking involved, it would be well worth it for a person to take some speech or some theater, you know, dramatic arts, as we generally call it in junior high and high school. I would recommend it to anyone. And when you teach, where are you? Where do you usually teach?
Well, when I teach, primarily it's in the Los Angeles area. So I've taught in Hollywood. I've taught in Studio City, North Hollywood. These are all areas in Southern California in the L.A. area. So just different locations depending on what space I'm using. And I also work with artists privately. And in that case, sometimes I work with them in my home. So I might have an actor who has a big audition coming up, and they come over with what are called their sides, which are simply their scenes, and we'll work on them so that when they go in for that audition in front of the producers, they can hopefully nail the job. And then I work with those privately who want to work on career development, so we set goals for them as they're developing in their careers. There are those, like the celebrities I've mentioned, who are on set, on film or TV sets, and they like having the security of knowing that they've got their coach right there. So after each take, I can take a look at the take, give them feedback, so when they get ready to do the next take, they can make the adjustments that the directors either ask me to communicate to them, or the director and I both will communicate with the actor.
Well, you know, I like writing, and I've written for some pretty famous people myself, and I always enjoy listening to them do it, even if they don't do it exactly the way that I've written it. It's okay with me because sometimes they can add a little twist to it that makes it sound even better. And I know that I'm very proud when I hear someone doing my writing, and I wonder what it's like for you when you see someone who's taking advantage of what you have taught them.
It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. I remember once I was teaching an acting class, and I had a student, and he was not the most talented one in the class, but he worked the hardest. So that by the time that the 12 weeks were up, he had grown the most, and I felt so proud of him. I never forgot that student because it showed what hard work could do.
I remember I taught in middle school, I guess you call it, a junior high school in Los Angeles, and I taught over the summer, and the class was, I guess it had some students who were not the best of students, you know, just as you're saying, because many times students who go to summer school are either trying to get far, far ahead, or either they're trying to catch up, you know. And I remember his mom coming in and saying, "Oh, he's never, never been interested in school, but he loves your classes. What did you do, you know?" And so you feel really good when someone says that about your teaching. I'm sure you had many, many experiences like that.
Yes, it's very, very rewarding.
Now, since we're talking now about writing, and of course I brought up the subject, how does your literary... And that's because that's one of my favorites. It's become my favorite even more so than, say, acting or whatever.
Yes.
But since we're talking about writing, how does your literary retreat for women that I've heard about, the Writers Well in Georgia, nurture other writers? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I'm just so proud of this Writers Well. That's where I am right now. I'm here just recharging my own batteries. It's located in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and I've had writers come as far away as Ghana. I had a sister who came here, and she stayed for a week and worked on her works, her personal writings, and she actually has a daughter who goes to school in New York, so she combined the trip, being able to see her daughter in New York, coming to the Writers Well here in Georgia, visiting relatives and friends throughout the state. So it was time well spent. And so I have writers who come. It's a beautiful, beautiful location that I have here, sprawling, very woodsy. And it's a space where writers can come and unlock their creative energies, listen to their inner voices, and push their literary limits. And basically when people come, once they come in with their suitcases and get settled in, we sit down and we talk about their goals so that they know what it is that they have as their roadmap while they're here. And they're able to share with me 15 pages of their writing. I critique the writing. We talk about it. And they're off and running. They're on their own to do whatever it is that they've come to do. So this space works best for those who are self-directed, who don't really need someone to hold their hands. In fact, I just spoke with a woman today who lives here in the Atlanta area, and she's chosen to come here. She'll be coming here later this month, and because it's nearby, she doesn't have to travel a long way, and her husband will take care of their four-year-old daughter, and she'll come for a week and just rejuvenate her mind, body, and senses through her writing.
Now, how long does the average writer stay with you?
Usually about a week, but I've had writers stay as long as a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when they come, are they trying to complete a book, start a book? What are they usually trying
All
to
of the above. I've had those who have come who are right in the midst of a novel, some that are at the beginning stages of a novel. I've had someone come that was working on a one-woman show of historical figures. I had a woman come who was working on a children's book, a pictorial children's book, that chronicles and is based on her mother's life, who was from the islands. Just all kinds of writings.
Sounds like I need to come to one of your writers' wells. I have written a lot, but going back over it and, you know, making it better and you know, doing the analysis and deciding on the changes, that's what I haven't done. I mean, I've written books years ago, and I just haven't looked back at them. And at this point in my life, I think I'm ready to finish it. So I may need to know more about your writer as well.
Please, come down. You're welcome anytime. And it's year-round, so it's not like there are certain times. A person can call, like the woman who emailed me said, do you have these dates available in January? And I said, yes. Mm-hmm. So she's coming. So it's whenever people want to come. It's year-round, 12 months a year, 365 days a year.
Now, for people who do want to come, what do they do? How can they find out more about it and how to get in touch with you and all?
They can come to the website, and that's www.writersretreat.com, and they would go to the Georgia location because I belong to a network of writers' retreats throughout the world. So they would just go to the one, click on the one in Georgia, and that would bring them to the writer's well.
Now, you know, we are going to get to your own books. As an author yourself, I'd like for you to share with us a little bit about your Essence Magazine best-selling book, On My Own Terms, One Actor's Journey. Tell us about that.
Yes, that book came out in December of 2008, and I'm just so proud that in June of 2009, it was named number 3 behind President Obama's two books, for softback nonfiction book in Essence Magazine. So that was a huge honor to be behind him.
Mm-hmm. Now, having advertised it in Essence Magazine, does that mean that it's pretty limited to reading by black women, or is it kind of anyone can read the book?
Anyone can read it. It just so happened, in the way that one, I don't know that they're doing that any longer, the bestsellers in Essence Magazine, they were at that time. It just simply meant that every month they would get figures from black bookstores around the country and see which books were selling the most, and that's how they would decide each month which books came in, rated at whatever, you know, level they came in. So I've had individuals who have read my book and sent me emails. I mean, I had a touching one just recently. So there are those who have read the book who enjoy autobiographies, they enjoy memoirs, motivational books, inspirational books, books that give them a glimpse into the industry. That book, On My Own Terms, One Actor's Journey, really covers all of that ground. And in fact, when I received my blurb from A Gathering of the Tribe magazine in New York, the writer who reviewed it said, and I quote, "This is a deeply intelligent, thoughtful, fearless read that dares anyone to categorize it." And I think that's true. That's why it crosses over, I believe, into all those different areas that I just mentioned. It's
now,
not
when we come
to one.
Yes, when we come back, we're going to talk about how one can get a copy of your book.
Okay.
If you're just joining us, we are talking with my sister, Adela Barnes, and we are going to be right back. This is Celebrating Truth, brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. I'm Faye Williams, your host, and we'll be back in a moment.
And now back to Celebrating Truth with your host, Dr. Faye Williams.
Thank you, Corey, and welcome back to Celebrating Truth. We're talking with Adela Barnes, and we're having a great conversation. We were just talking about her book. For those of you who joined us at the break, this is Celebrating Truth. We're here every Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we always have great guests. Each one is greater than the last one, so don't miss any of our programs every Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And welcome back, my sister. We were just finishing up a little conversation about your book. How might our listeners get a copy of your book?
They can actually come to my website if they want an autographed copy. And that would be www.adelabarnes.com, spelled ADILAHBARNES.com. They can also go to Barnes & Noble online and Amazon as well. And again, the name of the book is On My Own Terms, One Actor's Journey.
Okay. Now, in addition to being an actor, a writer, you're also a producer. So would you share with us a little bit about the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival, which is a nonprofit organization that you co-founded 18 years ago and that coincidentally is coming up soon?
Yes, it is. I'm very proud of the Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival as one of the co-founders. We came about in 1993, and our 19th anniversary festival will take place March 22nd through the 25th in Venice, California. Our honorary chairpersons are Hattie Winston, actors Hattie Winston and Danny Glover, and the hosts for our gala night, our Champagne Gala and Award Ceremony that will take place on March 22nd. That will be, the theme is A Night Divine, and that's the night when we bestow awards on women in theater who have made laudable contributions to the world of theater. So we have the Eternity Award, the Integrity Award, the Maverick Award, the Rainbow Award, and posthumously the Infinity Award.
Yeah. You know, I can hardly believe this. There is another similarity. In the National Congress of Black Women that I chair, we have an awards brunch every year, and we honor women who are active in the community, you know, for their community service from all across the country, and we have at least one posthumous award, because I think it's so important that we not forget our sisters who have passed on. You know, it's
That's
so easy
right.
to do sometimes. Well, you know, I'm beginning to believe we may be twins or something.
For sure, we are kindred spirits. There's no question about that.
Right.
And it's so interesting with that Infinity Award, a couple of our awardees that we have bestowed it on in recent years posthumously were Eartha Kitt, Bea Arthur, and others. So we're very proud, Yolanda King, very mm-hmm. proud to bestow that on those mm-hmm. after they've passed on.
Mm-hmm. Now, where might our listeners in the Los Angeles area go to find out more about your 19th anniversary festival that's going to run in March? We do have a chapter in Los Angeles of the National Congress of Black Women.
Oh, it would be wonderful to have a group of your women come out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can go to our website at www.lawtf.com, as in Los Angeles Women's Theater Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also call us at 818-760-0408, or they can email us at lawtfspotlight@yahoo.com.
Okay, and the phone number again?
Is 818-760-0408.
Okay, and the email once again?
Is lawtfspotlight@yahoo.com.
Okay, well, I'll certainly, if they're not all listening today, tell them about your program and keep us informed of what's going on so that
Certainly.
We can share it. We have chapters in Los Angeles. We have a chapter down in South Bay and, you know, Carson area.
Oh, yeah.
We have one up in Moreno Valley and San Francisco. We're just all over California.
You're all over.
Yes.
Doing
yes.
great things also. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, you serve artists in a number of different ways, as we're hearing today. In addition to producing and nurturing artists in their craft, you also recently began agenting. Is that a word? Agenting solo artists?
Agenting is a word. It is, yes.
Yeah, with one-person shows in the college
yes.
market. How did that come about?
Yes, that came about when I decided that I wanted to represent myself in the college market. I have a one-woman show called I Am That I Am Woman Black, in which I portray seven historical women. I start with Sojourner Truth.
Wait a minute. I can't let you pass that up.
Okay.
Sojourner Truth. She is the woman that our organization put a memorial in the United States Capitol.
I was there for that.
Oh, my goodness.
I was there. I came to your luncheon. In fact, friend in Missouri, Moya, she performed for you that day at the luncheon.
I know, Missouri.
I was in the audience.
Yes, okay. Oh, yes, I do remember now.
Yes.
But, you know, there were so many people, and I was pulled in so many directions, but there are names
I
remember.
And I didn't actually quite get to you, but I was there, and what a beautiful bus that was.
Wonderful. Well, we've done copies of the whole memorial service, you know, from the Congress and also at the luncheon. We've just completed that as, you know, memorabilia. We're hoping that our friends and sisters all across the world will want a copy of that. So we do have those available. We made them available at our brunch. And Ted, who works with us and helps us with our PR, had them done for us. And he said, you know, this is so important. We need to give this away so that people only pay for the shipping and handling. But we're giving them away for a period of time now. So
beautiful.
I hope many of our listeners will want that memorial album of that. Wasn't it a glorious day?
Oh, that was an incredible day. And the First Lady was there. It was
Yeah. Well, she's been back with us. As a matter of fact, she has a wonderful message on our website now from the brunch this past year. But let's go back to you. See, I cut you off with Sojourner Truth.
Okay.
I want to let you go. I get so
excited.
We'll
go back to the list.
Going.
So the first one, we had to elaborate on her,
Sojourner
Truth. And I also portray Harriet Tubman, Mary McLeod Bethune, Zora Neale Hurston, Lorraine Hansberry, Angela Davis, and I conclude with Maya Angelou.
Uh-huh.
So those are my seven women in I Am That I Am Woman Black, and I'm very proud of that show. It has now toured 40 states, so I'm just trying to have enough wind to make it to my last 10 states. And it's also been to three continents, obviously North America being the U.S. And the Caribbean, Africa, and Europe. So it's touched many lives. And so when I decided that I wanted to go back to the college market under my own banner, not having an agent any longer, I decided that I would put the word out to solo artists who had taken a workshop that I offer called Let's Get Your Show on the Road. It's a touring workshop. So I put the word out there, and I was amazed. I had 18 people that immediately said, oh, I'd love to be a client. I'd love to be a client. I'd love for you to represent me. I thought, wow, I'm onto something here. So the particular organization, booking organization that I've been a member of for many years and that I represent the artists through is the National Association of Campus Activities, NACA, or NASA, some people say. And so that's where I represent them. And other than that, they may be doing their own thing, self-producing, what have you. So I only represent artists as it relates to the National Association of Campus Activities.
Wonderful. Now, I want you to share a little more about your one-person show, I Am That I Am, Woman Black.
Okay. I feel that it really has been a calling for me to do this show. It's my contribution to helping keep Black history alive. And I've just had some of the most heartwarming experiences as I've taken it from state to state, city to city. And most recently, I just performed it in October at Whitworth University in Spokane, Washington, and had a wonderful experience there. It was a residency, so in addition to performing there, I also spoke at their African-American women literary class that they have on campus. I spoke with the theater department. I always do a post-performance discussion after each performance, so I had that exchange with the audience, and it was just magnificent. Had my books available, so there were those who got autographed copies. So it's a wonderful way for me to contribute toward keeping Black history alive by portraying these seven very powerful women who helped shape America.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had the pleasure of hearing Zuri do, you know, some of the one-woman shows, and I enjoyed it so much. It was so powerful. So I'm looking forward to seeing one of your shows before long.
Excellent. I was in your area a while back, Towson University, in fact.
Mm-hmm. I've spoken at Towson.
Look at all these similarities. And in
fact,
for my 20th anniversary, I received their Program of the Year Award, and I mean, that was like the icing on the cake. Not only was it my 20th celebration, but of all the programs they did for that year at the school, to be named number one was just quite an honor.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So I definitely will let it be known when I'm back again. I was at Mary Washington University near you as well, so I'll let it be known when I'm coming back.
Okay, but you know, I'm all over the place, so just let me know where you are. I speak at a lot of universities and, you know, churches and other places, so just if you'll keep me up with your schedule, I may well be in a town where you are rather than the other way around.
That's right, because in fact, I heard you speak when you came to, I believe it was in Long Beach.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes, I heard you speak here. Very powerful.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, yes, well, we definitely will make sure that we keep our lines of communication wide open.
Okay, well, we've got a few more questions we want to ask, but for those who are just joining us, you have missed a wonderful conversation, but you know, you're in luck. You can go back to artistfirst.com, and you can click on Celebrating Truth and hear it when it's archived in 2 to 3 days from now. We're talking with my sister, Adela Barnes, and we are having a great time, but we're just about out of time. So before we go, I understand, Adela, you're going to be returning to BlakeRadio.com as an Internet talk show host later this year.
Yes,
tell us a little bit about that show that you're going
to
be doing.
Yes, I will be resuming my Internet talk show called Simply Adela. And it began in 2003, and I have Theodore Terry to really thank for encouraging me to become a talk show host, an Internet talk show host, because I was like, oh, I've never done that. That would be something that's totally new. I don't know about that. And he was very encouraging and, in fact, was the one who suggested that the title of the show be simply Adela.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, who just has one name besides Oprah?
Oh, well.
Precisely. That's my point. Exactly. You can, too.
Well, it's Cleopatra.
So, right. So, anyway.
Sojourner has two names, but whoever uses it is just Sojourner.
Very rarely do they say truth, but we know that's the last name. And so the focus of the show is to interview celebrities from different aspects of the industry that I know personally. And that way, I'm able to speak with individuals who I have a personal relationship with, who in many cases are well-known, and where they know that they're going to be protected, that I'm going to take good care of them, and really ask questions that not only will allow others to learn a little bit about them, but I sometimes am able to ask questions that others are not able to ask. So some of my guests have included those celebrities that include Marla Gibbs, Ella Joyce, Hattie Winston, Freda Payne, and it's interesting, a couple of them have since passed on. I did the last interview with Virginia Capers, so that's really a special interview, and also with Pat Tobin.
I knew Pat.
Yes,
Toyota.
The most African-American publicist in L.A.
Uh-huh.
So it was a blessing to have interviewed them before their passing. And then I also interviewed personal manager Dolores Robinson, mother of Holly Robinson Pete.
Mm-hmm.
So just some incredible guests that I had in the past. And so I'm looking forward to returning in 2012.
Well, you know, I'm delighted about all that we have in common. I know we were just supposed to get back together, and then again, our friend Ted brought us together.
He brought us together, and I'm so glad he did.
Yeah. So, but before you go, and I know you've got to go in just a moment, but for those who may want to reach you directly or learn more about all that you do, give us your information again, including your website address.
I sure will. I can be reached by web at www.adelabarnes.com, again spelled adilahbarnes.com. I can be reached by email at pro, one, the number, at AOL.com. For the Writer's Well, I can be reached at www.writersretreat.com. And when they go to the website, if they're interested in getting a copy of my book, On My Own Terms, One Actor's Journey, they are able to click on and order right there. Everything that I do is on that website, so they'll be able to go to the different pages to learn about booking artists, perhaps, in the college market, or booking my show, because I don't just book simply for colleges. I'm also a speaker, so there may be someone looking for a keynote or whatever. So whatever it is that they may be interested in, when they go to the website, they're able to click on, and there's a way that they can go from the website directly to my email address, and I respond to all emails.
Well, what a wonderful interview. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today, and we look forward to having you back sometime. But be sure to keep us updated on your wonderful work. Thank you. God bless you. Love you.
Thank you so much, and I certainly will do that.
Okay.
Happy New Year.
All right, and have
okay.
a blessed one, too.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Williams.
Thank you. That was our guest, Ms. Adela Barnes. We had a wonderful interview. And again, if you missed it, you can go back to catch it in a couple of days when it will be on our website at artistfirst.com. Just click on Celebrating Truth and pull it up. If you'd like to join the great things that we do in communities across the nation, let us know by calling 202-678-6788. Maybe you'd like to be a donor to some of our community service programs. You can do that at you can do that at www.nationalcongressbw.org. And I want to remind our listeners, when you come to Washington, D.C., you should stop by the Capitol Visitor Center and see Sojourner Truth, the memorial our organization donated to Congress nearly 3 years ago. And Sojourner Truth presides over Emancipation Hall. She was the first to be unveiled there in Emancipation Hall, and she is the first black woman ever to have a permanent memorial in the U.S. Capitol anywhere. Yes, we celebrate women and all of their achievements, and we invite you to support our efforts by being a member of the National Congress of Black Women or by becoming a donor to our great projects. Right now, in addition to raising funds for our community service projects, we're gladly accepting donations of any amount to our housing fund. That's right, we're going to be moving into our new office very soon. Again, just go to www.nationalcongressbw, where you can join or you can donate to our projects. There are a lot of awesome things going on in our community, and we find that we have to celebrate our own truth because we either get left out of mainstream media or too often find ourselves denigrated. Among our listeners, I know there are many wonderful stories. And if you have a story to tell here on Celebrating Truth, give us a call at 202-678-6788 or email us at info@nationalcongressbw.org. And we'll be happy to help you tell your story. We love to find the good and praise it. And then I promised you I was going to talk about New Year's resolutions before we go. We're going to take about a 30-second break, and when we come back, we'll talk about New Year's resolutions. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Celebrating Truth with your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you, Corey. And again, welcome back to Celebrating Truth. You know, 2011 has not been the best of years for many in our country, but there is hope for 2012. Just imagine a year where all Americans loved America enough to work toward making our country better for all of us. Now, I know that New Year's resolutions are usually all about us. Many of us will pledge to lose weight, to earn more money, to go to bed earlier, begin meditating or begin exercising and taking better care of ourselves. But most of us work on those resolutions for a few weeks. Some of us even work on them for a few months. And then it's back to business as usual. And I know how it goes because I've done that so often. But this year I decided not to wish for anything personal, knowing that if my wishes for all of us are fulfilled, I'd still be happy. So I decided to imagine a year for all of us. First, I imagine a year where all Americans showed basic respect for our president and our first lady. I mean, what is there not to like about them and their whole family? I just can't imagine a thing. But you don't have to like someone in order to respect them. And I've noticed as we've gone along in the presidency of President Barack Obama, we've found so many people who have been disrespectful, not just to him, but to the office of the presidency and to the first lady. And I'm just praying, and one of my resolutions in 2012 is that people will begin to respect them, whether they like them or not. Now, I want to imagine a Congress, when they return, where all 535 members would come back to work each day and with the thought in mind of improving life for all Americans instead of just trying to block what others are doing. I mean, you know, it's easy to talk about how not to do something, but my resolution is to work to see how many people I can find who will talk about the good things, talk about positive things, and how we can overcome the challenges that this president inherited. I also want to imagine schools where all of our children are welcomed and knew that everyone there was working to provide for them a quality education, sparing no effort to educate them to the fullest and to help them make something special of themselves. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful? So that children could enjoy going to school, nobody would have to be wandering around, walking around, trying to figure out what to do while they're playing hooky, but they would actually enjoy going to class because they knew that people were there who cared about them and were going to help them to become somebody special, as I said. And imagine that our schools and our streets and homes were safe places for our young people because we were all working against child abuse and neglect and against violence toward everybody. Children would be happy and would be respectful of adults because we were all working to give them a better chance than they had at life in 2011. I mean, wouldn't it just be wonderful if this could happen in 2012 and everybody just made a little effort to make some of these things happen? And then, of course, imagine that hunger just disappears in 2012 because we all look out for our neighbors and share whatever it is we have, no matter how little it is. We would say, I've got enough for myself, so I'm going to share this with my neighbors and make sure that no child has to go to bed hungry or fearful of anything because, again, we were looking out for our neighbor's children. And then, of course, we could look at all of the Bible verses that there are to guide us, those who read the Bible, you know, to see that there are many things we can do. We can help to feed the hungry. We can help to clothe people. You know, most of us have far more clothing than we would ever need. So I hope sometimes within this week we would all just go in our closets, look at what it is we have that's still good, but we don't wear it, and share it with someone. Somebody else would appreciate it much more than you are if you're just leaving it there in your closet. And then, of course, the Bible tells us that we should help those who are thirsty, give them something to drink, help strangers, even, you know, if we don't know them. Let's be kind to strangers. Be careful, but be kind. And, you know, if somebody around us is sick, just do a little just run a little errand for them and make sure their mail gets to the post office, their banking is done or something. And then we could all just be truthful with one another and truthful in a way that we're helping each other get over our challenges. And imagine all of us doing our part to provide a sustainable livelihood for everybody. We know there are many companies out there that can well afford to give someone a job, even if it's only a part-time job. I hope that someone will say, I could use some help around here, and hire someone so that people can take care of themselves. And there would be no need then for those culture wars that we hear about all of the time. There would be no need for any kind of wars because all of us would be experiencing something positive and we would all have enough of whatever it is we need so we wouldn't have to try taking it from someone else. Imagine a nation where all of us did our share. All of us would be practicing the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Imagine our working together for the greater good of our nation in 2012. Well, if we did that, 2013 and beyond would be awesome. So as we leave you today from Celebrating Truth, let's just do it. Let's just wish each other a happy, blessed new year. And finally, don't forget to make that call to Congressman James Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin for his insensitive remarks about the First Lady. Don't forget to make the call. You can reach him by calling 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. And demand an apology to the nation for its effort to diminish the importance of what the First Lady is doing to help us all become healthier people in this nation. And, of course, on the middle-class tax breaks, the unemployment insurance, the decrease in pay the doctors would have experienced. It's not over, you know. The legislation was passed for just 2 months. So remind your member of Congress when they come back to Washington, they need to resolve those problems at least for the rest of this year and stop wasting time that prevents the president from getting the jobs challenge resolved. He wants to work on that, but he needs Congress to help him. Tell them that you're tired of the foolishness they go through trying to prevent this president from succeeding. And then, of course, don't overlook the fact that there are several states attempting voter suppression. This is serious because bills have been introduced by Republican legislators in over 40 states to suppress voting. They do it in many ways, so look out for the various forms of suppression and do what you can to make sure the vote is not suppressed. And so, until next week, you've been listening to Celebrating Truth. We've had a wonderful guest, and of course, we are looking forward to seeing you next week. But before we go, I want to compliment the National Congress of Black Women's Member of the Week, Mrs. Marilyn Blakely from Virginia. She had all of her young people in this week. We had a wonderful tea for them. And we're saluting her today because she had an African ambassador come in and talk with the young people about diplomacy. And so it went well, and we're just looking forward to having many, many more activities for our young people. Join us each Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Sirius Radio, also with Mark Thompson, Make It Plain. I have the honor of co-hosting the Wednesday segment on women. We thank you, we love you, and we'll see you next week. This is Celebrating Truth. I'm Faye Williams.